time for Pacers Weekly.
And we welcome you into Pacers Weekly here on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. I'm Pat Boylan. We're live and with you talking Pacers basketball here for the next hour. We do it from 10 to 11 every Saturday morning during the Pacers season. Our premier show was last week. We have games to talk about now. The Pacers are 1-1 on the season after a 118-101 loss in Milwaukee last night. The Pacers opened up their year on Wednesday with a 111-83 win over Memphis. That game last night, if you were to look at the schedule and pick maybe the five toughest games on the schedule for the Pacers this year, you'd probably put that one in there. At Milwaukee, who I think most people expect to be improved this year and to likely contest for one of those top four playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. And they opened up a brand new building, the Fiserv Forum. And when you add all of those things together, very difficult to win under those circumstances. And difficult to win when Giannis Antetokounmpo plays well. He had 26 points and 15 rebounds. The Pacers jumped out to an 8-0 lead in this one. And Milwaukee got hot about midway through the first quarter and never really relented. Indiana trailed by as many as 15 in the first half. Cut the lead into single digits briefly in the second half, but never got any closer. Victor Oladipo had 25 points. He led the Pacers, but Indiana never had enough in the second half to seriously contend. That's coming off of Wednesday, which was one of Indiana's best opening nights in franchise history. A 111-83 win over Memphis, in which the Pacers were plus 29 on the glass. That was Indiana's fourth best rebounding performance in franchise history. However, they did lose the rebounding battle against Milwaukee. So 1-1 on the season in a game tonight. They are on a back-to-back, and so are the Brooklyn Nets. That's who Indiana takes on tonight, a 7 o'clock tip. There are a few tickets left for this one, but not many. A few in all of our different price zones, but not many. This is very likely to sell out tonight. Pacers.com/tickets. If you would like to be at tonight's game, if you're considering coming to tonight's game, we recommend that you act now on that one because there are only a few tickets remaining for that game against Brooklyn tonight. Then the Pacers go on the road for three. And actually, if you look at Indiana's schedule after the opening week, it's pretty difficult for about a month's time. They go at Minnesota, at San Antonio, at Cleveland. Then they come back to host Portland, a couple more on the road, New York and Chicago. So they open up with 6 of 9 on the road. Then they return home for three, but it's Boston, Houston, and Philadelphia before going back on the road for two more. So important to take care of the games like tonight in which you feel like you are at an advantage. However, Brooklyn's coming off a nice win last night over the Knicks in which Caris LeVert hit a game-winning runner. LeVert with 28 points, and Brooklyn won 107-105. Again, Pacers.com/tickets. If you cannot be there, you can listen to radio coverage right here. It starts at 6:30, 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM across our radio network, as well as on Fox Sports Indiana. Jeremiah Johnson and crew will tip things off at 6:30 on FSI with Chris and Quinn on the call shortly after 7. We will hear from Chris. We will hear from Jeremiah, Mark Boyle, Eddie White, Mark Monteith, Jeremiah Johnson. The whole crew will be joining us this week. We'd love to hear from you as well. 317-239-1070 is the number to call in. Chat Pacers basketball with us. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. We always start this show off talking with the head coach, Nate McMillan. Mark Boyle gets that interview, and when we return, we will hear their conversation. That's coming up next. This is Pacers Weekly.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is TJ Leaf. You know Bankers Life from the name on our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they're one of the 10 largest companies in the state providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at CNO Inc. That's CNOINC.com.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
knew we were getting married, so
correct.
We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum. The best to offer, rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
21 Pilots, The Bandido Tour, live. Friday, June 28th, Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days.
Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
No,
21 Pilots, live in concert.
Pacers Weekly continues. 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. It's our guy, producer David Deering, kind of mixing up the return music. Freshen up our sound here on a Saturday morning. Mark Boyle, as always on this program, sits down with Pacers head coach Nate McMillan. They have a conversation, and we play it for you. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. I remember talking the first or second day of training camp, and you specifically mentioned, Nate, that your entire focus was on just getting better. So I'm curious, A, are you getting better? And B, how do you quantify that? Is it an eye test? Is it analytics? Is it something else?
Well, we have to see consistency. I thought we got off to a good start establishing ourselves defensively and offensively in that first game. And now we have to continue to do those things. We did a good job of defending the paint, rebounding the basketball, getting out, establishing our pace, our tempo. So it was a good start, and now we have to continue to improve on that.
One of the things that's interesting is that you come back with essentially the same core group, but there are some new guys that are playing key roles. And sometimes that mesh happens early, sometimes late, sometimes not at all. How are the new players that you have in the rotation fitting in?
Well, they're starting to get a feel for what we expect from them out on the floor. And, you know, the chemistry with the group, you know, that's going to take some time. You know, as I mentioned, I thought we got off to a good start on both ends of the floor in our first game. But it's going to take some time, you know, with us getting our rotations, the combinations that they play with out on the floor. Continue work in progress.
The depth is obviously one of your strengths, and you've got a lot of guys that can play, perhaps some of whom might not get to play because you have so many. A nice problem to have, we know. But how do you balance that?
Well, you know, we know that we can play 10, 11 guys, and, you know, what I've told our guys, we're normally going to play 9 to 10 guys each night, but everybody has to be ready to play. And I think that we can match up or we can try to take advantage with our versatility, being able to play a number of different guys at different positions. If we want to go big, we can go big. If we want to play small, I think we can play small, and we can put, you know, 3 guards out there. So we have the versatility to do so. A lot of times, depending on the flow of the game or how we want to attack a particular team, we will change our rotation to do so.
Staying ready, I think, is an interesting concept. How does a professional basketball player stay ready if he's not getting into games? What is the secret to being ready when you're called on?
Well, you know, practice is the time, you know, as we tell our guys, a lot of guys are not playing. Practice is their game time. And you have to go hard and practice hard. You have to get your conditioning. And you have to do the same thing that guys who are playing does. You know, so you're getting your cardio, you're working out. We play a lot of 3-on-3 basketball with our guys before games. If you're not playing in a game or you don't get 20 minutes of the game, you have to do conditioning after the game. So that is what we're talking about when we say keep yourself mentally and physically ready. When you're sitting over there pouting and complaining about not playing, a lot of times that's when that opportunity presents itself.
Let's close with this. You played once at home, once on the road. You're back home tonight. Brooklyn is the opponent, the team that hasn't fared well in recent seasons. What can you tell us in terms of what the folks might look for from the Nets?
Well, we know they're going to try to play fast. They want to get up and down the floor. They, you know, like to attack the paint, and if you break down the defense, they want to shoot a ton of threes. So it's very similar to a lot of these NBA teams now that they either want rim attempts or three-point attempts. And what we have to do is make sure that we establish the tempo and control the tempo of the game, that we get back, we keep the team in front of us, we limit them to one shot, and then we want to be on the attack. Being aggressive, attacking the basket.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us, as he does on a regular basis on Saturday mornings here on Pacers Weekly. Pacers back home vs. the Nets tonight. That's a 7 o'clock tip. We hope that you'll join us in person if possible. If not, Pat has Pacers pregame at 6:30. The ball goes up at 7. And speaking of Pat, let's go back to the studio and the host of Pacers Weekly, Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Nate, thank you. We heard from the coach. We'll hear from a player next when we return. Chris Denari and Corey Joseph inside Denari's Den. This is Pacers Weekly.
What doesn't kill you makes you strong.
Grammy Award-winning global superstar Kelly Clarkson. The Meaning of Life Tour. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Friday, March 22nd. Kelly Clarkson with very special guests. Grammy-nominated Kelsey Ballerini. And season 14 winner of The Voice, Bryn Cartelli. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Piece by piece, he collected me.
25 million albums sold worldwide. Now's your chance to see Kelly Clarkson. With very special guests, Grammy-nominated Kelsey Ballerini. And season 14 winner of The Voice, Bryn Cartelli. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Friday, March 22nd. Check more at kellyclarkson.com. Produced by Messina Touring Group and AEG Presents.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum, the best to offer rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 469848.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Darren Carlson. You know Bankers Life from the name of our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. And for every three-pointer we make this year, CNO Financial will donate $50 to the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 19 seasons, CNO Financial has donated nearly $300,000 to Pacers Foundation. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org or visit CNOinc.com.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. We're live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. I'm Pat Boylan. The Pacers host the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 7 o'clock tip at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, pacers.com/tickets. Indiana coming off a loss to Milwaukee last night. After the game, Pacers TV voice Chris Denari had a chat with Corey Joseph. Chris?
I know, a disappointing night, Corey. Where do you think it all started?
I think they just did a better job executing their game plan better than we did. They made it take a lot of tough contested twos. I think we, you know, only got up like about 18 threes. And in today's game, that's bad, especially when they hit 17, I think. So they executed their game plan better than us. They forced us into a lot of, you know, one actions. And defensively, we didn't do what we needed to do to win the game.
A lot of the same personnel from last year, but you really can't look at last year's tape because with Coach Mike Budenholzer, they play a whole different style than they did a year ago, right?
Yeah, Mike's a good coach. He's going to get his players to play hard. He's going to get them to understand their sets that they're running. He's definitely good for this organization. He definitely could take them to the next level. But with that being said, we got to be ready for them next time.
Yeah, you know Coach Bud well because you played for him when he was assistant to Coach Pop at San Antonio, right?
Yeah, he's a great guy, great person, great character, great coach. So this organization definitely should be happy to have him.
You knew this would be a tough one. They open a brand-new building, Fiserv Forum here. They're a playoff team from a year ago, and Giannis continues to take his game to another level, right?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. Defensively, like you said, I mean, he's long. He gets in transition. He's very hard to guard. He definitely puts teams in, you know, a tough situation trying to guard him, and then he's well. He's gotten better at passing and whatnot, so they were able to get off a lot of threes, like I said, and hit a lot today, so... We just got to be better at, you know, locking them down, trying to keep them out the paint, and also flying out to the three-point shooters next game.
Best thing about this league, though, in 24 hours, you get a chance to redeem yourself against the Brooklyn Nets. And I know on Wednesday, what an atmosphere. The crowd was excited. You guys put on a great show on opening night. You have a chance to do that tonight against Brooklyn.
Yeah. Great thing, like you said, great thing about this league is you got to have short-term memory. So, you know, it was a bad one tonight. We're able, you know, we have a chance to redeem ourselves tomorrow and keep it going on.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Corey Joseph inside Daenerys Den. Back to you, Pat.
Chris and Corey, thank you. On Monday, Pacers Sports and Entertainment was deeply saddened to learn about the passing of one of the Pacers' founding fathers, Richard Dick Tinkham. Dick was a guiding light in the formation of both the American Basketball Association and the Indiana Pacers, who would become the ABA's flagship franchise. He was instrumental in pulling together the initial ownership group and worked tirelessly behind the scenes in overcoming many obstacles to ensure the Pacers would remain a viable franchise and eventually forever transform the Indianapolis sports landscape by moving into Market Square Arena and the National Basketball Association. Pacers Sports and Entertainment offers heartfelt condolences to the Tinkham family. And coming up a little bit later in Pacers Weekly, Eddie White will sit down with Mark Monteith to go in-depth on one of the Pacers' founders back in the ABA days. When we return, it'll be Mark Boyle rejoining us, and he will be with Bucks announcer Ted Davis. This is Pacers Weekly.
Through its local associates, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers. There must have been
something in the world. Country's greatest, Carrie Underwood. Live in concert, the Cry Pretty Tour 360 with special guests Maddie and Tay and Runaway June. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, June 16th, 2019. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The brand new album, Cry Pretty, is available everywhere now in association with Kalia.
Hi Pacers fans, this is TJ Leaf. You know Bankers Life from the name on our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they're one of the 10 largest companies in the state providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at CNO Inc. That's CNOINC.com.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum, the best to offer rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 469848.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly. This is 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. 317-239-1070, the number to call in, at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. We're taking your Twitter questions. Forward them over to Mark Monteith, Jeremiah Johnson, who will join us a little bit later in the show. We heard from Mark Boyle once. Let's do it again, this time with Ted Davis, who is the voice of the Milwaukee Bucks. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. Things can change as the season goes along. We know that, Ted, injuries and unforeseen developments. But as we speak, it seems reasonable to conclude that the Pacers and Bucks are the two best teams in the Central Division. As the season starts, do you see anybody else getting into that equation?
Not really. And this will be fascinating to watch the games between these two teams this season. You know, we play four times, and I think these two teams will be competing for perhaps that third or fourth playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. So how the teams do in this series will be big when it comes to the end of the year, and you're talking about the tiebreaker.
The Bucks have one of the best players in the world in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Could he become the best player in the world?
He already, I think, is the best athlete in the NBA, and I think he's the most unique athlete that I've seen in my 30 years in the NBA. Now, I'm not saying he's the best player in the game today, overall basketball player, because I think LeBron's better, and Kevin Durant is better, Steph Curry is better, and there's some guys that their overall basketball skills, in particular their shooting ability from the outside, is better than his. But from an athletic standpoint, there is nothing that this guy cannot do. I've never seen anybody that could play all five positions offensively and guard all five positions defensively. He really is a unicorn. He's unique.
What would you say is a reasonable goal for this team? You talked about maybe third or fourth in the East. Do you have a feel for what the players and coaches themselves think about that?
I think they want to get to 50 wins. It's been a while since this team won 50 games. They have not been to the second round of the playoffs since 2001. That's a long drought. It's 2018. It's time to take that next step. And if they can get to 50 wins, they'll get one of the top four seeds in the East, and that will give them home court advantage if they play Game 7 in a series. Last year, they were on the road, played Game 7 in Boston, lost, as most NBA teams do, on the road in Game 7. If you win 50, get home court advantage, that's your best chance to go to the second round.
Tell us about Milwaukee from the standpoint of the Bucks, as you say, haven't had much success in recent years in terms of playoff victories, and you've got the Green Bay Packers playing at the same time. This year, the Brewers are good. Is the city energized with the new arena and a good team?
I think they're energized by the possibility that this team is on the rise and trending in the right direction. Now, the players and the coaches have got to go out there and make it happen now. They've got to make it happen on the floor. You know, the arena is going to be a novelty for about a year. And this is a great building. It's a big upgrade from what we had at the Bradley Center, and currently it probably is the best arena in the NBA until the Golden State Warriors open their arena in a couple of years. So I think you'll have the curiosity factor of the arena coming in this year, and then if you can put a product on the floor that will excite the fans, especially at playoff time, then you start to ingrain yourself more in the sports consciousness in this city and the state.
One other thought about the team before we wrap up here, Ted. Last year, two coaches, Jason Kidd, and then Joe was here for the interim, and now you've hired a full-time coach who's had some success in Mike Budenholzer. How much of a difference do you think that'll make?
I think it will make quite a bit of difference, because I think what happened at the end of Kidd's run here, and I like Jason Kidd. I've known Jason Kidd since he was a rookie. I was doing Dallas games when he came into the league. I think he's a good coach, but I think he got stubborn about his defensive system, which had been figured out by the NBA, and they adjusted to what he was doing, but then he didn't adjust to what their adjustment was, if you know what I mean. And so I think the players lost faith in the defensive system as his time went on here. And while I think they gave lip service to, you know, wanting to play hard in the defensive system, they didn't believe in it. And so I think it just kind of accumulated into the fact that they didn't believe you could win with this defensive system. Mike Budenholzer starts fresh. He has a pedigree of winning in San Antonio as an assistant with Popovich, and he was coach of the year with the Atlanta Hawks a few years ago when they won 60 games. I think they'll buy into both offensive and defensive schemes they have here. And so that, in my opinion, is where we have an upgrade in the coaching situation.
Ted Davis is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, kind enough to join us on this edition of Pacers Weekly. Pacers back home tonight, taking on the Brooklyn Nets. That's a 7 o'clock start. Pat has Pacers pregame at 6:30. Let's go back to Indianapolis now and Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Ted, thank you. When we return, it's time to go around the house with Eddie White, and he's going to bring in Mark Monteith, which might sound like a little much because Mark will join us a little bit later in the show. But Mark is going to go in-depth on Dick Tinkham, one of the Pacers' co-founders, and really give you his backstory and just how important Dick, who passed away on Monday, was to the Pacers being around today and the formation of the franchise back in the 60s. A really good conversation coming up. Eddie White and Mark Monteith, and we return after the break on Pacers Weekly.
The Harlem Globetrotters bring their fan-powered tour to Indianapolis for two games on Friday, January 18th, and Martin Luther King Day on January 21st. At a Globetrotters event, you won't just be watching the action, you could be in the middle of it. This year, the games offer even more opportunities for your family to interact with the stars of the team. Don't miss the Globetrotters on Friday, January 18th, or Monday, January 21st. Tickets are now on sale.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Darren Carlson. You know Bankers Life from the name of our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. And for every three-pointer we make this year, CNO Financial will donate $50 to the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 19 seasons, CNO Financial has donated nearly $300,000 to Pacers Foundation. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org or visit CNOinc.com.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum. The best to offer, rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associate, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Pacers Weekly continues, 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. I'm Pat Boylan. Let's now go around the house with Eddie White.
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. And this week, Pat, I'm going to go with a wild card. I usually interview somebody. Sometimes it's the mayor. Sometimes it's the governor. Last week was Rick Fuson. And here's somebody who is a regular on this show. He's a regular on our postgame show. You read him all the time at Pacers.com. In fact, he'll be coming on a little bit later in the show, the great Mark Monteith. And I want him to talk about a specific subject. So first of all, Mark, welcome to your first visit to Around the House.
It's about time, isn't it, Eddie? I'm truly honored. Thank you.
About time. The reason I want to get you on is earlier this week, there was a gentleman who passed away who was as important to this franchise, and I guess you could argue this city, among, you know, if there's a top five, is city-wise, he's in it. If it's Pacers, he's top five, maybe one, two, the great Dick Tinkham. And you were on our postgame show so graciously the other night. You were talking about him, and I just thought it was a story that we need to talk about him.
Yeah, no question. You know, Dick's one of those guys who was mostly behind the scenes, but did so much for the Pacers and through that, the city itself. You know, he's a guy from Indiana, grew up in Hammond, was a good high school athlete, basketball player, track, went to DePaul, went to law school at Michigan. And he played a role in so many of the early developments of the Pacers. The Pacers' first general manager was Mike Storm, who was the business manager of the Cincinnati Royals when the ABA was formed in 1967. Storm and Tinkham had been in the Marines together. This was not a wartime situation, so it wasn't such a bad thing to be in the Marines at that time. But Storm always told the story that he'll never forget his introduction to Dick Tinkham, although they both grew up in the region. They didn't know one another. But they're having inspections Saturday morning, and Tinkham kind of shows up later than everybody else because he had gotten permission to do the bar exam. And Tinkham shows up dressed all preppy-like, and so the drill sergeants are giving him a hard time, you know, screaming at him, doing what drill sergeants do. And they say, "Oh, so you're an attorney, huh? Or you want to be an attorney, huh?" Says, "Yes." Says, "Do you know the Constitution?" He goes, "Yes." He goes, "I'd like to hear the Constitution. Can you recite it for me?" And Tinkham says, "Would you like to hear it frontward or backward?" And Storm says, "Right away, I knew I had a partner there because I'd been the guy they had been yelling at this whole time." So he connected with Tinkham right away. They stayed in touch for the next 10 years from the point they met in the Army. So in 1967, the Pacers' first choice for general manager, a guy named Bob Young, a local promoter, he backed out of it after saying he would do it. So they need a GM, somebody to take this ball and start, get this franchise off the ground. And Tinkham calls Mike Storn. And he had already been talking to him for advice, but this time he called and convinced him to take the job as general manager, the first GM of the Pacers. Mike turned out to be a great choice. You know, he really did a great job getting this thing going, worked, you know, endless hours, really a forceful guy. Well, that's Dick Tinkham's first contribution. The first season of the ABA, Storn had committed the franchise to hosting the first ABA All-Star game. No league has ever had an All-Star game in its first season. You're just trying to survive. You don't have time to put on an All-Star game. Storn did it. And Tinkham's the guy who finally convinced Butler to let the Pacers use the field house there because the game was going to be nationally televised and you needed a place where you could put on a good show that looked good on TV and also had good camera angles. And the Coliseum didn't provide that. So Tinkham, endless hours of effort, got Butler to get away from their rule of not letting professional athletes on campus, you know, for an event like that. That's another story. They received extended that for that one time and let the ABA have its All-Star game there.
So the ABA All-Star game, the first one ever, was at Butler Fieldhouse. Butler Fieldhouse.
Yes.
Tony Hinkle's probably the guy that blessed it.
He was involved, and he was in favor of it. Wow. And it took a lot of effort, though, to get the board of directors over at Butler to agree to do it because they had a bad experience with the Olympians back in 1953. So you get the All-Star game there, largely because of Dick Tinkham's effort. He is the guy who got Reggie Harding to sign a contract with the Pacers that first season, and he paid him on a per-game basis. You know, Harding had a contract demand, but the Pacers knew Harding's reputation for being undependable. Tinkham says, how about if we give you $300 a game? And Harding kind of, you know, you're not a math major, but that actually was more per game than any player was getting that season, the first season, $300 a game. But that protected the Pacers so that if he doesn't show or if he gets suspended, you don't have to pay him. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. Harding started blowing off practice and that kind of thing, showing up late for games. And so he got suspended for the playoffs. And, you know, he probably owed the Pacers money by the time it was over. Dick Tinkham arranged that contract at the airport one day when they signed him. And Harding was a really good player for a while. Tinkham is the guy who, he and Storn arranged the trade for Mel Daniels. You know, after the ABA's first season, because Reggie Harding crapped out, they need a center. The Minnesota franchise is moving to Miami. Mel Daniels had been Rookie of the Year for Minnesota. They need cash to pay their league dues and just need cash. And they don't care what the fans think because they're leaving Minnesota. Mike Storn and Dick Tinkham negotiated on the back of a napkin a trade for Mel Daniels that paid them, it turned out to be $100,000 and two guys who would never play again. You know, a steal of a trade that brings a future Hall of Famer to the Pacers. Dick Tinkham is part of that. He was part of signing George McGinnis early out of IU. He was part of getting Marcus Square done. He worked tirelessly for the league to get a merger accomplished and didn't quite pull that off. It would have been great if he had, because that would have happened in 1971, and that would have been much better for the ABA, obviously. And the story I told you after the game on Wednesday, you know, the Pacers and Kentucky were the two best teams in the ABA, most financially stable, best fan bases, consistently good, and they figured out, after Mike Storn left the Pacers to take over the Colonels in 1970, they didn't want to be bumping heads with each other early in the playoffs like they had in 1969. So they arranged to move the Pacers into the Western Division of the ABA. You know, Indianapolis is not a Western city by any stretch of the imagination, but these two guys had the clout, particularly Tinkham. They just kind of did it and declared it or whatever. That was the ABA. So the Pacers become a Western Division team instead of East. Kentucky's still in the East, and lo and behold, the Pacers and Colonels met for the championship in 1973. The Pacers won that one, and they met again for the championship in 1975, and the Colonels won that one. So that was, otherwise, they would have had to meet in the earlier rounds. Who knows what would have happened? So that's the kind of stuff Dick Tinkham was doing behind the scenes, you know, keeping the franchise going, doing, you know, he's an attorney, so he's doing those type of things. And obviously, he did a good job.
So it's safe to say, we'd wrap it up, that you look at all the great figures we've had in sport in Central Indiana, there are few that have meant so much to one franchise like him.
Absolutely. You know, I think every franchise probably can point to their early years and guys who kept the thing going. You know, for the Pacers, it's the Simon brothers buying the team in 1983. It's Slick and Nancy Leonard putting on that telethon in 1977. I give credit to that initial group of investors who kicked in their own money, never made money, and, you know, were writing checks for $5,000 here and $10,000 there just to keep the thing afloat. And, you know, you could say Mel Daniels, if they had never traded for Mel Daniels, they might have folded because it would have been a mediocre team and the fans might have stopped coming. Well, the reason Mel Daniels was here was because of a guy like Dick Tinkham, you know, doing the dirty work behind the scenes. His name was not in the paper that often back in those early days of the ABA, but he was doing the kind of things that made the Pacers better, that indirectly made the city better, too.
Mark, it's always good to see you. And we're going to kick it back to a guy who does all of our dirty work, Pat Boylan. Back to you, Patrick.
All right. Thanks, Eddie, I think. And Mark Monteith for that delve into Dick Tinkham. And when we return, we're going to bring on more Mark Monteith. He's going to talk about the game last night coming up against Brooklyn. Chatting Pacers with us, Mark Monteith is live next. This is Pacers Weekly.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is TJ Leaf. You know Bankers Life from the name on our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they're one of the 10 largest companies in the state providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at CNO Inc. That's CNOINC.com.
21 Pilots, The Bandido Tour, live. Friday, June 28th, Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days.
Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Stay with me. No, you don't need a price. Stay with me, my world.
21 Pilots, live in concert.
What doesn't kill you makes you strong.
Grammy Award-winning global superstar, Kelly Clarkson. The Meaning of Life Tour. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Friday, March 22nd. Kelly Clarkson, with very special guests, Grammy-nominated Kelsey Ballerini. And season 14 winner of The Voice, Bryn Cartelli. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Piece by piece, he collected me.
25 million albums sold worldwide. Now's your chance to see Kelly Clarkson. With very special guests, Grammy-nominated Kelsey Ballerini and season 14 winner of The Voice, Bryn Cartelli. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Friday, March 22nd. Check more at KellyClarkson.com. Produced by Messina Touring Group and AEG Presents.
We're back on Pacers Weekly. I'm Pat Boylan. If you miss any of this show, you can catch the show in its podcast form in its entirety. Just search Pacers Sound on SoundCloud, or if you subscribe to Pacers Sound on iTunes, the show gets put up there every Saturday morning along with the Sideline Guys podcast, Jeremiah Johnson and me. JJ will join us a little bit later. With us now, Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. Your voice isn't tired, right? Like, we can do this here?
Oh, I can do it. I can do back-to-back.
Okay. Just heard from Mark talking about co-founder Dick Tinkham, and Mark joins us again here. You talk about the schedule, Mark, and you have opening night against a winnable opponent who's still maybe trying to pick up the pieces from all of last year's injuries in the Memphis Grizzlies. And then things flip 180. You have a tough opponent on the road opening up a brand-new building, and I think you saw a lot of the results of that last night.
Yeah, you did, and it's the third year in a row we've seen this. You know, go back 2 years ago, opening night, Pacers had that overtime win over Dallas, a real exciting game. There were, you know, new faces in the lineup then with guys like Jeff Teague coming to the team, and Nate's first season as head coach, and they had an emotional win, and they followed up with a loss. And then last year they won their opening game at home against Brooklyn, and they followed that up with a loss as well. So last night just kind of continued to trend. This speaks to the fact that it's tough in the NBA to follow up a big win, an emotional win, with another great effort. You know, there's always that whole thing about water finding its level, regression to the mean that Frank Vogel used to talk about. It's certainly true. It's an element of human nature. If you've had a great moment to kind of relax a bit, luxuriate in the victory. Just like if you have an embarrassing loss, you're likely to come back more focused in the next game. So it was a tough game last night. You know, Milwaukee opening that new arena and certain Pacers following up their home opening win. We see that a lot in the NBA. Look around the league. You saw that a lot last night. There's a lot of one-on-one teams in the NBA right now, including some good ones. So nothing that unusual, but certainly you would like to have seen at least a closer game.
Memphis is a good example of that. Now, they played Atlanta, who promises to be one of the worst teams in the league, but they put up 131 after 83 against the Pacers on Wednesday. Mark, you look at the three-point shooting percentages, and it might not jump out. The Pacers were 33%. Milwaukee was 36%. The volume of the shots certainly do, though. Milwaukee took 47. The Pacers took 18. Indiana probably not a team that's going to take 47, maybe in a game this season, but would you like to see that gap closer?
Yeah, you need to. That's one of the things coming into the season Nate McMillan talked about and wants to correct. There were really two issues, I think, coming into the season that the Pacers needed to improve upon from last season. One was rebounding, and they certainly did that in the opener. Got out-rebounded last night, but not badly. And the other is three-point shooting. They gave up 387 points from behind the three-point line last season. That's not something you can continue to do. You've got to do a lot of things right to make up for that deficit from behind the three-point line. Last night, they gave up 33 points from behind the three-point line. Milwaukee had 17, and the Pacers had 6. You got to do a lot of things. You got to rebound well. You've got to get to the free throw line, all kinds of things to make up for that kind of deficit. So, you know, the Pacer offense is kind of predicated on high pick and roll, you know, running Collison off a screen, trying to make something happen. You certainly want the ball in Oladipo's hands, attacking the basket because he's so good at that. But somehow you've got to manufacture three-point shots out of your half-court offense. And certainly you've got to get stops and get out and run. Most open three-pointers come in transition, and Nate McMillan wants that. He is particularly emphasizing the corner three-pointer this season. He gave an extra point for a corner three-pointer in the training camp scrimmages. You got 4 points for a corner three-pointer. That's how much emphasis he put on it. So the Pacers got to be careful with that. They cannot get lulled into mid-range shooting, you know, just attacking the basket all the time. They've got good three-point shooters on this team. They added a couple in the offseason, like Doug McDermott and Tyreek Evans was a good one last year. You got to take advantage of that and get up your share of three-point shots.
Mark Monteith is with us, and the discussion that's probably going to follow this team all season is the one at the center position. I think Miles Turner has played well in his first two games. Domantas Sabonis has obviously played well in his first two games. What have you seen from those two, and what will probably be a never-ending battle to try to get both of them requisite minutes?
It will. You know, Nate will play them together when the other team has a so-called big power forward or a big four. A guy Sabonis can guard without having to go out on the perimeter too often. But that's only for a minute or so. I mean, last night, Turner played 27 minutes and Sabonis played 22. So that's 49 minutes. You know, there's only like a minute there where they played together. There's a little more than that, but you get the point that they didn't share the court too much. Turner has played well. He hasn't scored as much, but Nate McMillan's directive to him coming into the season was to focus on the defensive end. I think he's done that. I think he's been a more physical player. I think he's been okay, but Sabonis has been simply outstanding, you know, with double-doubles in each of the games. He averaged a double-double in the preseason. You've got to get him on the court. I remember Kevin Pritchard saying in the season-ending press conference last May that a guy like Sabonis, you want him out there for 30 minutes a night. He's that good. We played 22 last night, so how do you get him more minutes? The only way is to sit Turner more, which doesn't make a lot of sense, or to play them together, which Nate McMillan is reluctant to do because that means Sabonis has to guard on the perimeter. He certainly can get beat off the dribble by a lot of fours in the league. So that will be – we'll probably have this conversation a lot on Saturday mornings, and it will be interesting to follow and see how it turns out. But I guess it qualifies as one of those good problems for Nate McMillan to deal with, but I'll be interested to see how he does it.
Mark, it didn't necessarily affect the result last night, but one aspect of what seems like an improved bench to me is the fact that you should always have just about one of Bojan Bogdanović or Doug McDermott on the floor this year, and the Pacers didn't maybe have that shooting coming off the bench a year ago. And a positive to that, to me, would seem when you have Bojan Bogdanović in a night like he had last night where he was 0 of 7, You do have a player like Doug McDermott, who in this case last night filled in 4 of 6 from the three-point line, had 14 points. Perhaps that's showing the Pacers' depth even in a loss?
Yeah, no question. I like Doug McDermott a lot. I think he's more athletic than people generally give him credit for. I think if you had to force someone to pick who the best shooter is on this team, maybe if you had a game of horse, it would be Doug McDermott. His shot is so pure. 4 of 6 from the three-point line last night. He'll be a 40% three-point shooter, particularly if he gets consistent minutes. So, you know, Bogdanović played for his national team in Europe over the summer. He takes a lot of pride in that. So there could be a fatigue factor with him. If that's the case, well, then you can afford to limit his minutes and play McDermott more. You know, last night, Bogdanović played 27 minutes and McDermott played 20. You could flip that on occasion, play McDermott more. He doesn't necessarily have to start. It's all about how many minutes you play and whether you're on the court at the end of the game. But that's a luxury that Nate McMillan will have this year, that you could play McDermott more than Bogdanović if necessary, or if McDermott is having a particularly good shooting night. So he'll be an important weapon going forward for the Pacers. I'm not convinced that McDermott's all-around game isn't better than Bogdanović. I'm not saying he needs to be starting, but certainly I think he's going to get a lot of playing time this year, and I think he's going to be really crucial to the team.
Mark, I want to look at your work at Pacers.com and preview what the fans can look for in that direction. You have a story up. It's a couple of days old, but worth the read. Tyreke Evans making friends fast in Indiana.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun one to do. You know, Tyreke was so good in that opener, and he's going to be really important to the team. Even last night, you know, kind of quietly had 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He's that kind of player. He'll get, you know, his share of rebounds and assists. As a rookie, if I remember right, he was the fourth rookie in NBA history to average 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Oscar Robertson was another guy who had done that, and I think you're talking about Jordan and Bird and guys like that. So he's an all-around player. He was great in the opener. Now, he is a guy who traditionally has not been a practice player, what we might call a gamer. He admits to that. Nate McMillan is trying to change that. Thad Young said he's talked to Tyreke about that, trying to get him into the Pacers culture of being a defender and practicing hard, that kind of thing. And I think he will. I think Tyreke's going to be really important for this team. You know, Patty's 6'6" and 220 pounds. I mean, he's only 5 pounds less than TJ Leaf. You know, he weighs more than Bogdanović, I think. So he's a load for another team's guard to have to try to keep him from the basket. It's going to be hard to do. If you put a bigger guy on him, he's going to be quicker. So he's so good at the instinctive elements of the game, finishing around the rim. The pick and rolls he runs with Sabonis have been outstanding. I think he brings a lot to the team. If he will defend and kind of be with the program, I think he's going to be a really important player for this team. And I think he's going to do that. Talking to him, as you have, you can tell that he's on board. If nothing else, he's on a contract year, and he's got a lot of years ahead of him in the league. So I think we're going to see a really good player this year in Tyreke Evans.
All right, Mark, thanks for your perspective here this morning. We'll borrow you in about 8 hours as a part of our pregame coverage for Pacers and Nets tonight.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, Pat.
All right, that's Mark Monteith pulling the double with Eddie White, pulling a conversation here with us on Pacers Weekly. When we return, let's chat with Jeremiah Johnson. He was in Milwaukee last night. You saw him on Fox Sports Indiana. You'll hear him next. This is Pacers Weekly.
The Harlem Globetrotters bring their fan-powered tour to Indianapolis for 2 games on Friday, January 18th, and Martin Luther King Day on January 21st. At a Globetrotters event, you won't just be watching the action, you could be in the middle of it. This year, the games offer even more opportunities for your family to interact with the stars of the team. Don't miss the Globetrotters on Friday, January 18th, or Monday, January 21st. Tickets are now on sale.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum, the best to offer rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 469848.
Through its local associates, Stanley Security Solutions has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and services to some of the largest commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities in the world. With involvement in local community charities such as Habitat for Humanity and United Way, we are additionally honored to be a sponsor of the Pacers Call a Pacer Reading Program. Our more than 7,500 dedicated employees are proud to support the Indianapolis corporate community as a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and your Indiana Pacers.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Darren Carlson. You know Bankers Life from the name of our home court, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Bankers Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. And for every three-pointer we make this year, CNO Financial will donate $50 to the Pacers Foundation. Over the past 19 seasons, CNO Financial has donated nearly $300,000 to Pacers Foundation. Learn more at pacersfoundation.org or visit CNOinc. That's CNOinc.com.
Wrapping up Pacers Weekly here on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. Jeremiah Johnson, as always, joins us to close out this show. Hey, do you like the new music we're bringing you into?
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Me
great
too.
To see the advancements here as we move along the career of Pacers Weekly.
JJ, you were in Milwaukee last night. What were your impressions of the new building, the atmosphere for opening night there?
I would say good, not great. I thought there were a number of amenities and nice touches to the arena. I did not get a chance to walk around the concourse and the plaza, and I think that from what I heard, that's kind of one of the more impressive parts is when you walk out and kind of near downtown, there's a little plaza that's really nice. And other than that, it just kind of felt like a brand new arena that on the inside was like many other arenas that I've been in. A lot of seats that really all have good views. I didn't even think if I looked up to the upper deck and the top row looked like it maybe was still a decent seat, so that's always good. A lot of room for us to walk around and listen to huddles, but not a great seat for the TV sideline reporter. I was basically watching a monitor. So that's why I'm not going to give it a full A on the new arena scale.
Well, that's important. They should know that their sideline announcers are coming on Pacers Weekly the next morning to discuss it. So
I'm sure they're worried about what I was thinking.
Yeah, I bet they are. You don't want to say that last night was a game the Pacers couldn't win, because obviously they could have, and I think Milwaukee will be a team the Pacers are probably competitive with this season. That said, one of those games where you look at the schedule and you say, going to another building that's being opened up while you're there, it's probably going to take a higher level of effort than winning on the road normally. Did you experience that?
Yeah, I was curious what Nate McMillan's take would be on it, because of the days leading up to the game, he was kind of trying to play it up as this big Central Division game and, it could impact playoff seeding. And it seems odd to hear someone say that the first week of the season. So my first question to him before the game was, did you like this opportunity to kind of beat a team to help the Bucks open an arena and maybe, rain on their parade just a little bit? And he said, I don't know if I would choose this. And you're right. I think when the schedule came out, it was one of those games you thought would be tough to win. I think it's a little disappointing it wasn't closer. At the end of the day, it's a loss or a win, and it counts the same. But it really was a lot like Wednesday's game. I got on the bus last night and said, now I know how Memphis felt on Wednesday, because much like the Pacers dominated the Grizzlies, it felt like the Bucks kind of dominated the Pacers after those first 2 minutes. The way that game started, I thought, wow, 8-0 blue and gold. But then Milwaukee woke up, and they were kind of on a mission last night.
It was really odd, I thought, and you being there probably experienced this, to watch Milwaukee, a team that had never really embraced the three-point shot, all of a sudden shoot it like they were Houston.
I know. It was just drive and kick, drive and kick. And everybody on the court, you had to respect from three-point land. And, I think it's interesting. When you have a center like Brook Lopez that'll go out to the corner three area, it tends to get miles away from the basket, and it opens everything else up as well. I found myself thinking after the game, can we have Jason Kidd back as coach of the Bucks? Because I do think that Milwaukee and the Pacers have been, thought of as teams in that 4-5 range in the Eastern Conference. And I think Milwaukee is every bit of consideration for, a top four spot in the team that, early on, and obviously it's fresh in my memory, I don't think I'd want to see them anytime soon again.
All right, we're going to look at Brooklyn here in a second. I want to take a step a little bit further, because we won't talk to you again until a road trip is coming to a close. Three straight on the road after this Brooklyn game, Minnesota, San Antonio, and Cleveland. A lot of road games here early on. Which I know tests you as a broadcaster, but also tests the Pacers, who were a pretty good road team last year.
Yeah, I don't mind the early season road games because you're not kind of beat down a little bit by the grind at that point, and I think it's good for bonding, even, you know, the team, obviously, and the broadcasters as well. The other dynamic that's interesting, though, is for the players that, you know, I didn't go on those preseason games, but they had that 8-day, 4-game road trip in the preseason. So for them, at the end of the next couple of weeks, I do think they're going to probably be a little tired of being on the road. It's an interesting trip where you are on the road for 2 games. The team will come home for a day and then go to Cleveland. So after tonight's game, the next 3 on the road. And you knew this was happening. You knew 6 of the first 9 away from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It's what makes the game tonight that much more important. But you do see some opportunities to win those road games. I mean, Cleveland's at the end of the week. You don't fear them. Minnesota, who knows what's going to happen with the Timberwolves. And, you know, you wouldn't think it's the most dominant Spurs team you've ever seen. So despite all the road games, and then you look next week and you've got the Knicks and the Bulls. I think this is a team that will play good on the road, definitely better than they played last night. And I don't think the daunting next 2 weeks are anything that this team can't handle. But it will be tough being on the road that much early on.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. Trying to figure out what teams are early in the year can be difficult, and that's probably true of Brooklyn too. I think this is a team that's going to be better than last year, maybe not a playoff team. They've played 2 games so far. At Detroit, they lost by 3. Versus the Knicks last night, they won by 2. So they've had 2 very close games. Do you have a feel, a thought for what Brooklyn might be this year and what the Pacers are taking on tonight?
I think they will win a lot of games if teams overlook them. Much like last year, I think to start the season, teams maybe overlooked the Pacers just a little bit. They won't overlook the Pacers anymore this season. And if anybody overlooks Brooklyn, they'll lose the game. I think one of the things that stood out for me last year is they never gave up. There was a game that's vividly in my memory from the Barclays Center where the Pacers were up and they really needed to win. And the Nets just kept coming back, and seeing them play 2 close games and pull out a close win against an arch rival like the Knicks. I think the Pacers will have to be ready to play, but because I think they're a little disappointed about the way it went last night, I expect a really good performance from the Pacers. And you'd like to think, you know, at least the Nets, they got their one win. They're not going to be maybe as ready to go second half of the back-to-back for both teams. I like it when the NBA does that, where it's, you know, equal footing for both. So I think as long as the Pacers are just totally focused and respect the Nets, which you definitely should, it'll be a good opportunity.
A back-to-back for both of those teams, a back-to-back for the broadcast, 6:30 tonight. What do the fans have to look forward to on Fox Sports Indiana pregame?
Looking forward to having Eddie Gill with us for the 3rd time this week. It was nice to have Eddie on the radio side of things, I know, for you yesterday, and also joining us for Pacers Live pregame. We'll take a closer look at Tyreke Evans and his growth with the new team, the second unit. We talked to him after practice, and we've yet to really share some of his comments and interviews with some of the fans this season. So a little bit more on Tyreke Evans and, you know, just the usual fun. We'll see what Nate McMillan's thinking before tonight's game as well. Always happy to have Nate McMillan one-on-one. We don't take that for granted. Not every coach will do a one-on-one interview with the rights holder before every game, and we're lucky to have Nate do that. And that, as always, comes your way tonight at 6:30 on Fox Sports Indiana.
All right, that's Jeremiah Johnson. You can catch him then on Fox Sports Indiana coming up tonight. JJ, appreciate your time this morning.
All right, Pat, I'll see you later tonight.
All right, that's Jeremiah Johnson again, 6:30 on the Fox Sports Indiana Kroger pregame show. Kroger pregame show on the radio side, 6:30 as well, right here, 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM, Pacers and Nets tonight at 7 o'clock. It is a Lucas Oil family night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You can, for just $20, get your family at the balcony level, plus a free Pacers hat and family meal for free. Pacers.com/tickets. Take advantage of that deal. There are some tickets still available for tonight's game and with the Lucas Oil family night. Available on Pacers.com/tickets. That'll wrap it up for this week's Pacers Weekly. Jersey Johnny is next. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning at 10 a.m.